There's a trash mine here. They're 20th to 22nd century, mostly. All carefully cleaned up and fixed. It's going to be a really moving display. The idea of this many things that people used to love, abandoned. Carlyle wandered through the shelves, not studying individual objects, but vistas. The long stretch of close-crammed clutter that had been so much more than clutter to someone once. The atom strikes. Jehovah! The captain was not close enough to hear. What? Avignon! The icons collected at their house. That's where I've seen this. It's the same. Discarded things that people used to love, all crowded together by someone who can't stand to see them rot. An icon collection. A giant no-no box. Carlyle rushed from row to row, unpacking his thoughts less to his companion than to the toys themselves, or to himself. Why didn't I see it before? Mycroft wouldn't divide their time between the two of them unless they were equally important. And Bridger being what Bridger is, the other must also be, not toys necessarily, but like Bridger, they must have... That's why the Emperor would pick them out of all the children in the world, and that's why Eloise would talk like they're a god. If people raised at Madame's found something like Bridger, they'd worship it. The servicer rushed to catch Carlyle among the cramped aisles. Sorry, what? I can't hear you when you're rushing around like this. Carlyle's eyes came into focus on the servicer at last. I'm sorry, you're totally the wrong person for me to discuss this with. A frown of sympathy. Anything I can do to help? Short of taking me to Bridger? No, Carlyle answered. I can call a car myself. Whoa, slow down. The captain caught Carlyle by the shoulder as he started to bolt. A car? Sorry, I can't let you go. What? Why not? I told you. That evil Sensei Dominic is after you. I'm under orders to keep you here with us until the threat blows over. Under orders? It's just an expression. The captain claimed, though her dark eyes said different. You're in real danger. Whatever you're doing, it can wait. That's my decision, Carlyle countered, not yours. For the last time, this is serious. The captain seized Carlyle by the coils of his scarf, dragging him back toward the picnic. You're being offered food and hospitality by people for whom a little food is a big deal. Now sit down. Carlyle found himself shoved into a group gathered within the bridge's shadow, where a pair of servicers had stripped the trash-smeared shirts from their backs to dance. It was beautiful. Not one of society's formulaic social dances, but the primitive enjoyment of the body, reaching, kicking, leaping, ducking, close as daredevils, always a hair's breadth from scraping one another's cheeks or sharing sweat. It wasn't until one, thrusting with knife-straight fingers, scored a touch upon the other that Carlyle realized they were sparring. The sensei's voice grew cold. Servicers aren't allowed to practice combat sports. The servicer captain stared. You say that with the public finding out that Mycroft Canner is a servicer? That's reason enough to study self-defense, if we didn't have others. A long frown. I should go. No. Strong hands seized the scarf which looped around Carlyle like a harness. I said I'm under orders. You're staying here. Safe. I have someone indescribably, incomparably important to find. You're staying here. Against my will? Even as kind a soul as Carlyle can become nasty when the friendly face before him is less real than his mission. I could message the servicer program about your little combat practice. Have your paroles revoked. I will if you keep getting in my way. No, better yet, I know who to message. Stop! The captain seized Carlyle's arms with practiced speed. But tracker messages are fast as twitching. What have you done? Nothing that will hurt you. I just accepted an invitation I was offered to meet someone called Eloise in Paris in an hour. It's an hour from here, so if I don't leave immediately, a lot of important people will start asking why. I will not subject you, gentle reader, to the full breadth of this servicer's knowledge of profanity. Mycroft didn't warn me you were too stupid to live. You do realize I meant kidnap and rape literally, right? We're talking about Dominic Seneschal. I know the kinds of threats that Mycroft makes. I've been to Paris. I know more than you. The servicer captain frowned. I also know the kinds of threats that Mycroft makes, and I've known Mycroft years longer than you have. This was a real threat. Hush fell as the two competed, stare for stare. They both think they know me. They both think they know me so well. It's on again, a young servicer broke the silence. Channel 1113. As when a cloud consumes the sun and makes an afternoon's bright colors dim at once, so the servicer captain grew instantly cold. Last chance, Sensei. I know, Mycroft. I know the threat is real. I want to help you. But I won't let you endanger all the others if this person in Paris really will get us in trouble, if you don't go now. Decide. What's on again? 1113? That's a tracker channel? Crap is what's on. Crap only we care about. Now choose, safety or Paris? It was no choice, reader. Not for a sensei. Not now that the thought had come that there are two. But Carlyle did make another choice. In the car en route to Paris, those 60 minutes, he tuned his tracker in to channel 1113. It turned out to be a minor news station broadcasting from a square in Ankara, where Tully stood again upon his soapbox. What do you think caused the great wars of the past? He ranted, this time to a large sliver of the listening world. Economic instability? We have that. The economic giants, Masons, Mitsubishi, desperate to tear one another down. Was it prejudice? One group hating another? Walk down a street and hear the way angry people use Mason, cousin, utopian, as if they were insults. If we magically plucked a war expert from the past and showed him the present, they'd say in an instant that we're on the verge of war. The only reason our current experts haven't said it is that we don't have any. We believe so blindly that war is impossible that we hardly study it anymore. You think the hives are too friendly, too closely allied, too civilized to make war? The nation-states thought the same thing about each other in 1914, right before the First World War broke out. All it takes is one spark. That time it was the assassination of an emperor's nephew. What will it be this time? Chapter the 33rd. Martin Guildbreaker's last interlude. The Utopians aren't dirty like the rest of us. Note of Martin Guildbreaker, March 27th, 2454. Caesar, do not read this. Nor you, Domine, not yet. All that I have and all that I am are open before the pair of you, always. But these are the raw notes of something not yet quite transparent. They would hurt you. They would hurt you, Caesar, by making you unable to continue as you have. You could not trust, could not endure, but at the same time you could not act, not on the little that is here. I would not see you so paralyzed. As soon as there are answers enough for your awakened rage to know its foe, I will tell you. Until then, mighty Caesar, I trust you to trust me. As for you, Domine, read not this transcript yet. For you, the price is grief. I would not have you suffer until I can, at least, bring with that suffering the consolation of understanding. 0838 Universal Time, March 27th, 2454. Universal Free Alliance Police Headquarters, Romanova. Commissioner General Hector Carlyle Papadelius. Well, well, if it isn't Martin Gilbreaker. What brings you to my office at this hour of the night? Or is it not night anymore? 9:30 a.m. Where does the time go? Gilbreaker. I want an unbiased second opinion. Papadelius. Don't set those down there. This is my Mycroft Canner desk. You don't want to get your files mixed up in these. Use that desk, my everything else desk. Don't mind the mess. This is about Black Sakura, I assume? Gildbreaker. I want an unbiased second opinion. Papadelius. About time. I've been telling you from the start this wasn't a matter to be handled without me. Now, I know better than anyone how tangled polyhive law can get, and I agree sometimes the world is better off when you and your team lubricate these things. But I have 70 years' experience at this, and you have 6. So, when I send you a message that I need to see you about something ASAP, it shouldn't take you 4 days to turn up here. Gildbreaker. I want an unbiased second opinion. Papadelius. Quite a mountain of files you've got here. Flight plans, autopsy reports, sensor session schedules, old sniper magazines. What's brewing? Something big? Could have told you that 4 days ago. Gildbreaker. I want an unbiased second opinion. Papadelius. What's happened? Gildbreaker. I want an unbiased second opinion. Papadelius. Understood. Shannon, cancel whatever I have scheduled in the next 5 hours and make sure nobody but nobody comes in here unless the Emperor's on fire. Gildbreaker. Thank you, Commissioner. I'll lock the door. Papadelius. I'm going to shuffle these files so I read them in a random order, without influence from how you arranged them. Gildbreaker. I organized them alphabetically by the 9th word in each document. Papadelius. Random enough? I'll ask you yes, no, or fact questions from time to time as I read, but no opinion questions. Sound good? Gildbreaker. Yes. I'm recording this conversation for the record. I'll have it reviewed by an independent party to verify that I didn't suggest any conclusions to you. 8 minutes of reading in silence. Papadelius. So, one engineer's report says the damage Aki Sugiyama's fiancé's suicide kit did to the car shouldn't have been enough to make it crash, but the other two didn't find anything suspicious. Gildbreaker. I've ordered another 3 engineers to review the wreck. I expect their reports by the end of today. Papadelius. The engineer who was suspicious was the same one who said the flight plan was fishy? Gildbreaker. Yes. There are 162 standard flight paths from the origin to the destination city, of which only 2 guarantee that the car would not hit any habitations if it crashed. It was one of those 2. The likelihood of that is 1.2%, and the passenger could not control which flight path the car took. Papadelius. This is sketchy. I see the hints, but this is nowhere near enough to make an accusation of complicity. Not in court. Not when we have this call between Aki Sugiyama and O'Bairn, in which O'Bairn explicitly states suicidal intent. 10 minutes of reading in silence. Papadelius. Esmerald Revere's notes on Cato Weeksbooth classify these episodes into 2 types. Gildbreaker. In type A, Cato demands an emergency sensor session and appears in a state of extreme distress. In type B, Cato doesn't see Revere, but puts in 3 times the normal number of hours at the museum that week. And museum colleagues report Cato skipping meals and displaying other signs of agitation. Papadelius. 27 out of 47 car crashes in the past 5 years were immediately preceded by one of these episodes. That's roughly half of all crashes. Gildbreaker. I'm still working on the preceding 5 years, but I've had to get the crash reports through back channels, since the standard channel is to call Occam's Senir. Papadelius. One episode preceded Revere's death and got worse right before the O'Bairn crash. Guildbreaker, yes. Papadelius.